come to save the day.
Welcome to Mighty House. This is a radio show for people with problems. Home improvement problems, that is. Send an email now to Robbie@MightyHouse.net or call into the show at 877-711-5611. From foundation leaks to roof repairs, the Mighty House team is on the job. You're listening to Mighty House.
I'm Ron Cowgill. The Mighty House team is back. Join us on Facebook Live right now, brought to you in part by First Northern Credit Union. First Northern Credit Union is the only community credit union in Evanston. Visit them at fncu.org to learn more about the benefits of a credit union membership in your community. And also AWM Construction, awmroofing.com for more information. You can check them out there. They'll do all your roofing, gutters, soffits, and fascia. That's awmroofing.com for more information. There's also Fast Signs of Lincolnwood, 80@fastsigns.com, and you can check them out. And, of course, our buddies over at Mr. Floor, and that is MrFloors.com. And that concludes all of the help we've got on the Facebook Live there. We're broadcasting worldwide and live at MightyHouse.net, TuneIn.com. We're also on the Gab Radio Network. Just look for Mighty House Home Improvement Show. Podcasts of previous shows available at MightyHouse.net, Stitcher, iTunes, SoundCloud, and on HomeImprovementUSA.com. Find links to all of them at MightyHouse.net. Video clips of the show are available at MightyHouse.net and on our Mighty House YouTube channel. And we are posting all of the tips of the week and Clutter Clarity segments on our YouTube page there. So
yes, we are.
Those will be all up there. And, of course, you can give us a call right now on the Mr. Floor helpline, 877-711-5611. You'll have a chance to win your choice of Mr. Floor cleaning products. They're all non-toxic and environmentally safe. And you can learn more at MrFloor.com. All right. Next up, our guest is Elliot Richardson from the SBAC. And I think there's a couple of wins going on right now down in Springfield, sir. Are there not?
There are. We had a very, very good session.
Yeah.
So, very exciting. Two bills were passed, SBAC Inspire bills. Two.
See, but now you're setting a bar, buddy.
I know.
It's like we had one go through. Now you're doing two at the same time. I mean, where are we going next then, you know?
We had that discussion internally, and we said maybe we should tank one of these bills because just, we do not want an expectation of passing two bills in one session.
Right. I mean, you're setting expectations here.
We are. But they were really good pieces of legislation.
Oh, yeah.
And they are very different, but both going to help small businesses and entrepreneurs. And then we have a third bill that we were strongly supporting that also got out of both the House and the Senate.
Really?
And that's really exciting. I'd love to talk to you about that a little bit because it's really going to be good for people actually who are addicted to opioids and substance abuse and also small businesses. It's a great marriage of helping people and helping small businesses at the same time. So that's a great one as well. So we had a very, very busy legislative session. It's over, and we really were able to move the needle this session, and that's because of the hard work of our staff and because of our excellent members who really get engaged and really make it happen.
Yeah. No, it's pretty cool. I read the newsletters, and I'm like, all right, they're knocking it out of the park this time.
So it was good. It was really good.
So let's start off with the first one. You guys hate churches. So you did,
what?
Yeah, no, they're anti-church or something like that. What is it?
Wow, if you could spin something badly, Ron, I'm going to send you an award for badly spinning a piece of legislation.
Oh, that's right. No, I'm sorry. No, it's actually something different.
You hate
it is.
Churches.
It is. Go ahead.
Yes.
That's nothing against church or synagogues or anything like that.
Oh,
right?
Of course not. No, okay. It's actually a really good piece of legislation. So in 1934, after Prohibition, they passed a bill that said you can't sell alcohol within 100 feet of a church or a school, and it was a statewide piece of legislation. And the only way to get around that piece of legislation was to actually go to Springfield yourself or have a lobbyist do it, draft the bill, get it passed by the House and the Senate and signed by the governor that allowed you to actually open up a restaurant that could serve beer or wine with dinner.
And that was only that one particular location.
Exactly. I think it was done less than 85 times since 1934. The unintended consequence of that legislation was that in, you know, many at-risk communities that are really in need of significant economic development, restaurants won't come in. And the reason restaurants won't come in is because they can't serve a beer or wine with dinner. And there are a lot of churches in some of these areas.
And in the strip malls and stuff like that, or they might have one building on the block. And
well, also on the west side, the south side of the city of Chicago, you might have 6 or 7 storefront churches, and then restaurants won't come in. So you have entire areas that are really barren of economic development and economic activity.
Right.
And things like restaurants drive that. I mean, people go out to dinner, and then they'll shop locally. It's a good thing. So what we did is we were able to pass out of the House and the Senate legislation that eliminates that state barrier. Now, local communities are still going to be able to regulate this. You know, it just takes it down to the local level where maybe somebody in a neighborhood on the west side of Chicago might feel very differently than somebody in downstate Illinois about what they want, how many churches are on the street. And it was good legislation, and we got absolutely no pushback at all from anybody. It still wasn't easy to pass. I mean, there was because there was a lot of politics at play at times. But, you know, I tip my hat to the legislators that made this happen. They came together at the end. We worked so hard on it. I mean, we really did. And this really was driven by our coalition members. You know, this was driven by the chambers of commerce all over the city of Chicago and some in the suburbs that slipped for this bill. Some of the bigger business organizations came on at the end. And it was really exciting to get that win. We were very confident the governor will sign it because the governor early on, I believe last summer, said he wasn't signing any more of these exemptions. I mean, it creates a completely unlevel playing field for small businesses. And look, if somebody wants to put an Applebee's or bring a restaurant into a place that needs that economic development, you don't want that to get thwarted.
Right. So the law was within how far of a church?
100 feet.
So if you ended up with a community church somewhere within 100 feet of that, is that across the street too? So then
it was 100 feet, but
like a circle around it. And then you end up with 3 or 4 of those on a couple of blocks and then there's nothing.
Well, and then the question is, what is a religious institution? I mean, is that a yoga studio? And I'm serious about that. People would not put restaurants in.
Because they were worried about
that. They were worried about that. A meditation center. I mean, religion is defined very, very broadly. Mm-hmm. So that's gone. And now, well, it's got to be signed by the governor, but we're confident in that. That should be gone. And then local communities will be able to decide how that's going to work. And we're hopeful now restaurants who do make a significant profit off of selling wine and beer with dinner are going to be able to come in and spur economic development in these communities.
Right. And that brings it down to the local level where you really want that. Those decisions need to be made there, too. It's not doesn't need to be made in Springfield.
Well,
Exactly.
Statement. And that was actually a big complaint of a lot of legislators is that they were making decisions about economic development in communities they knew nothing about. That's why there was this unanimous support. I believe it got out of the Senate without opposition.
Wow. How often does that happen?
A couple times. our bills did well this session because it was really common sense. And whatever the motivation was in 1934 to pass this piece of legislation, you don't want to stymie economic growth and economic development.
Well, I think back then, though, because it was also within schools, right? So schools and
yes.
Any schools and or churches. But those were big, large buildings, institutions, those churches at
right.
the time. At that time, they didn't know that you would be putting a church, you know, like that.
And that's exactly why, like Elliot said, the unintended consequence is where it led down a path.
Yep. And we've heard it inversely, where, you know, a charter school or a different type of school isn't welcome into a neighborhood because of the fact that they don't want that to impact a restaurant's ability to come in. And, you know, you got to count on your local legislators who are on the ground to do the right thing. And if there's some sort of abuse that should occur and we really don't anticipate it, tackling that.
So it seems like once the restaurants come in, then the other stores come in around it. Is that just because people are walking in and out?
Sure.
And now, because it's almost like that as the anchor for that strip mall is a restaurant or two where that starts to draw people in and you got a lot of large turnover and then other stores can fill in those areas.
Oh, yeah.
Areas too,
I mean, in Chicago especially. I mean, Lincoln Park, Lakeview, those wonderful areas to go shop and eat.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, restaurants drive people. So that was one of our wins. So we were very excited about that.
Okay, we got about a minute before the break here. What's the tease for the next one?
Regulatory reform. I mean, Ron, listen, I know you have a team of lawyers and specialists
you
that analyze that are just solely focused on analyzing regulations, right?
For me, yeah.
For you, yes. And you enjoy paying them, and
for my business,
exactly.
Every move we make, first we run it through the lawyers, and,
right?
You know,
well, you might have to furlough one of your seven or eight lawyers,
really?
Yeah, because we were able to pass some good legislation on looking at how regulations impact small businesses. And then really, so I don't know. You might want to make some calls right now.
All right. Well, we're going to talk about this a little bit more. That's Elliot Richardson from the SBAC, SBACIL.org for more information. We'll be back right after this.
This is Mighty House. Mighty House will return.
This for me?
Yeah, I did. This is yours.
I love it.
When I feel bad after something I eat, I go out where the air is not so sweet.
The Port-a-John.
I drop my tools and I run like the wind to that tiny shack that's 6 feet from the street. The Port-a-John's a risky place, I know. 'Cause if you light a match, the thing might glow. The Port-a-John.
There we go. That's Elliot's favorite song, so we like to play that for him when he's.
I wrote a similar song.
Oh, did you?
For my kids.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, I'm not going to sing it for you.
Oh no,
no. And it embarrassed them remarkably.
That's your job.
Success.
That is exactly. That's what I do.
All right, you can give us a call on the Mr. Floor Helpline 877-711-5611. You'll also have a chance to win your choice of Mr. Floor cleaning products. They're all non-toxic and environmentally safe, and you can learn more at MrFloor.com. And we are the official radio sponsor of this year's Custer Fair, broadcasting live both days, brought to you in part by FNCU and Firehouse Pete. Stop by our
General
booth.
Custer?
Yes.
What's FNCU?
Two seconds. The First Northern Credit Union.
I want to make sure
I got it right. FNCU.org. They're sponsoring it. And the Firehouse. It's a great restaurant here in Evanston. So you can stop by the booth, and that is the 16th and 17th, I believe. So we're
of June?
Of June, yes. So with that, we were talking to Elliot Richardson, and he's from the SBAC, SBACIL.org for more information. If you've got a small business, this is the organization you want to get involved with. They are a nonpartisan, member-driven organization that their sole goal is just to help small businesses get back to work.
Absolutely.
So something about regulations we were talking before the break there.
Yes.
They're adding more regulations to what we're doing. Is that what you were saying? They're adding regulations on top of the regulations to make it easier for us to work?
Well, you have to regulate the regulations, otherwise they get out of control.
Oh, got it. Okay.
All right, right. So every time Ron teases us, let's just assume he's going the wrong way, okay? That was not
our
initiative.
Now you know why he has like seven or eight attorneys.
Exactly,
right.
Exactly.
There you go.
So in Springfield, there's a lot of agencies. Throughout the state, there's a lot of agencies, and they make rules.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, we are a nonpartisan organization, so let's just make the assumption that they're not coming from a place to try to hurt folks
right.
or small businesses. It's just they make rules, and sometimes people don't understand how those rulemakers are going to impact different segments of society. So we represent small businesses. And we drafted legislation that would require a state agency that makes a rule to actually look at how it will impact small businesses, the entire small business community.
Wow.
Do an impact analysis on that, post it on the Department of Commerce and Economic Opportunities website, the rule that they want to make, and give small business owners or agencies like ours, organizations like ours, I should say,
right.
the opportunity to weigh in.
Just sound off on it and say, yes, we like this, we don't, here's what... Here's where we'd like to see it go, if it was to go somewhere.
They don't currently do that in the state of Illinois?
Not to this extent,
okay.
Rich. No.
Because I know that, like, federal law, I mean, everything goes in the register, and you have to do open for comment periods and things like that. I did not realize that it did not happen at the state level.
Yeah, and the impact analysis is going to be so important, because it's going to really put out there, hey, this is how a new rule will impact small businesses. And I was being facetious before the break, but we don't have a team of lawyers.
Right.
And we don't have different people trying to figure out how to comply with regulations and how much it's going to cost us to comply with regulations. This law will also highlight the industries in the small business community that will be impacted by this. So it's a significant piece of legislation. Now we're going to have to be vigilant and make sure that this is actually done, that the impact analysis are performed, and that we're able to weigh in and then make sure we weigh in. So when we see a study and it looks like a rule makes absolutely no sense, or worse than that, you know, it's going to really impact the overhead and the operations of small businesses, which ultimately cost people jobs. And, you know, the small business community is a community. We're all interrelated. And that bill passed with bipartisan support. We expect that to be signed. So that should be law as well. And we're excited about that piece of legislation.
So to kind of
good
bring
job.
That.
That's a good one. I did not realize you did that did not happen there.
Thank you. Thank you, Rich.
So, you know, I think one example is the interior designers are trying to lock up all the design work. And every couple of years, they roll out this bill that would eliminate any design work unless you're an interior designer, which I understand interior designers, they want to do that. But the impact of that across all the kitchens and bathroom, you know, people that just do kitchen and bath, small changes would need to have a licensed interior designer on staff now,
or architect
to
sign off on them.
And so it's creating this huge hurdle. Just do a basic bathroom or kitchen remodel,
right? And what this legislation would do is it would say, okay, now you got to do an impact analysis. How is that going to affect subcontractors? How is that going to impact people in the construction industry? How will that impact people in the interior design industry? You got to look at that and say, okay, does this make sense? Or is the impact going to be such that the legislation that might be good for one group of people, and I don't know anything about the legislation, but the legislation that might be good for one group of people is going to disproportionately impact the other. It's that theory of unintended consequences, which, frankly, small business owners get hit with way too often because we don't have a voice. So people do things. They make rules. All of a sudden, small business owners figuring out how to comply with it. And then, you know, the horse is out of the barn.
Right. And it's too late. It's already passed. So what do you repeal it? You know, all that kind of stuff. It gets to be too much, you know. Small business people are focused on trying to run their business.
Exactly. Run their business. Look the next job or make the next sale. We don't have time to monitor what the state's about to do to us.
Yeah, to be constantly looking over our shoulder to see what Springfield's coming after us for.
Yeah,
Right. So it's like, Elliot, how is the SBAC growing? Are you getting it? Because, again, you do so much good, and you're out there busting your butt since you started it. And you know, you would think your membership would be increasing every year drastically. I mean, every small business in the state should be joining. Just that's how you get that momentum, and then you can't be ignored.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's growing. It's an educational process as well. Our coalitions with these other different business groups and chambers of commerce are becoming more and more robust. And people do want to see forward movement. And and that's, you know, that's what we have to focus on. They want to see results. They want to make sure that the dues that they pay to become a member of the SBAC are well spent. I mean, you have the networking aspect of the organization, but at our heart.
Which you have a great networking.
Oh, it's huge.
It's huge. Yeah. But, you know, it's got to be network. From our perspective, there's lots of places to network. So this is networking with a purpose. We're all pushing the ball in the same direction. And that tends to drive really, really engaged people into the organization.
Right. Right. No. And
so then prior to the elections, you'll have like the SBAC scorecard, because, again, you're nonpartisan, but you can actually grade representatives and senators on their performance in the last, you know, sessions and so on. And help small business owners know where to go with their vote.
You know, it's very interesting. The scorecard we may do, but it is difficult, and I'll tell you why. Because when you get to know politics in Springfield, you know people, let's take the Fair Maps issue, for instance. People came on and sponsored Fair Maps, knowing at the end of the day that it wasn't going to go anywhere. Now, you know, we're huge proponents of Fair Maps.
Oh, yeah.
You know, end gerrymandering in Illinois, end it if Republicans are doing it, end it if Democrats are doing it. It's just bad. It's bad for democracy. Small business owners don't have a voice. However, when you're looking at a legislator, you can see, oh, my gosh, my legislator sponsored this piece of legislation. But at the end of the day, and it happens on both sides of the aisle, sometimes they just want to put their name on the legislation so they can come home
and say,
hey.
Yeah, I tried.
Exactly. What we do try to do is highlight the legislators, be positive, highlight the legislators that are moving good legislation, and call out in a very respectful way those that may be standing in the way of good policy, because that's what a good nonpartisan organization, in my opinion, should do.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You shouldn't be one side or the aisle or the other. No.
But you're right. I can see the difficulty in doing that with, you know, because then also your idea of good might be different from somebody else's, even a different business.
Yeah.
So it can get kind of dicey.
Well, but I think that's part of the policy committee job that's within the SBAC. Because you've got people from all walks of life sitting at that policy committee meeting saying, how should we move this forward for the SBAC, and coming to conclusions, I mean, and directions, and, you know, helping put that down so that everybody's involved and everybody's got a voice at that level even. So
absolutely.
It's really a good organization to get involved with.
Thank you.
For sure.
Thank you. Can I sneak in?
Yeah, we got 2 minutes.
So all right.
Let's run this last one down.
All right. So, Nellie Roland Vasquez from a Safe Haven, a great nonprofit that deals with folks who are suffering from substance abuse disorders, reached out, and we started talking about legislation. You know, the opioid crisis is just destroying families and people and individuals and communities across the nation. And I began to get educated. The SBAC got educated about the impact that has on small businesses. Productivity.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, not only is it terrible for the person who's addicted, but if that person works for a small business, you have decreased productivity, long absences, decimation of morale. On top of that, what we learned is workers' compensation costs soar when they're covering people who are addicted to opioids.
Yeah.
And health insurance rates go up when people are addicted to opioids. So we strongly supported legislation that would allow and not mandate health insurance companies to cover residential recovery treatment and proactive treatment for opioid abuse. And, you know, Nellie led the charge. She did a wonderful job. That passed.
Okay.
And that's going to the governor as well. And I think that's a way that people can look at things on a nonpartisan basis, the marriage between healthcare providers, social service organizations, and small business owners to tackle something that is not only taking a huge human toll, but also really impacting small businesses.
Excellent. Hit that perfect, right on the post.
There you go.
Very nice.
Elliot Richardson, SBACIL.org. Thank you.
Thank you so much, guys.
Here I come to save the day.
Here they come to save the day. This is Mighty House.
Whoa. We're broadcasting worldwide and live, MightyHouse.net, TuneIn.com. We're also on the Gab Radio Network. Just look for Mighty House Home Improvement Show. Podcasts and previous shows available at MightyHouse.net, Stitcher, iTunes, SoundCloud, and on HomeImprovementUSA.com. Find links to all of them at MightyHouse.net. You can follow us on Facebook by looking for Mighty House Home Improvement Show, and our Twitter handle is at Mighty House. And you can give us a call on the Mr. Floor helpline. It's 877-711-5611. You'll have a chance to win your choice of Mr. Floor cleaning products. They're all non-toxic and environmentally safe. And you can learn more at MrFloor.com. Man, what's going on there? You hear that?
A thunderstorm. It sounds like a thunderstorm
in
my ears.
Yeah, there's a thunderstorm. Oh, I bet you Rich hit the mute on his mic. Are you there, Rich?
Yeah, they're better now?
Yeah, there you go. He's back. All right.
I did mute it, but I thought I had turned it back on. I apologize because I did that right at the end of the break because I know how that screws everything up.
Yeah. And if somebody wanted to sign up for the newsletter, Rich, how can they do that?
Go to mightyhouse.net, go to the contacts page, put your first, last name, email address, click on submit, and you are good to go. You get that email every Friday and let you know what's coming on the show.
That's right. And just to recap, the Small Business Advocacy Council, the SBAC, is a nonpartisan, member-driven organization that promotes the success of small business through political advocacy, networking, support services, and educational programs. The SBAC is dedicated to improving economic conditions for small to mid-sized businesses and being a voice for small business. For more information and to make a donation, you can go to their website, sbacil.org. That's sbacil.org. All right. Now, I just want to say again, thanks to Elliot Richardson for stopping by and bringing us up to speed what's going on with the small business in Illinois here. So with that, I believe it's time for Clutter Clarity, is it not?
No, we have another segment.
We do? Yeah. Oh, we do. We do. Look at that.
You do. You
okay.
Do.
Good. All right.
We do.
You
do.
Must have overscrolled.
I overscrolled, yes. I did. So, excellent. So then now what? I was planned on hitting Clutter Clarity. Boom, I was done.
Boom.
Kick back, relax, watch Robbie do another segment.
Boom.
Boom, done. But now it's not boom done anymore. It's undone. So, all right.
Well, you could always talk about like all the stuff you sent me last week about construction myths, you know, and.
Oh, yeah.
You know, anyone can get a job in the construction industry.
Yeah.
Sure.
Anybody who is a hard worker can get an entry-level job in construction.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Dedicated.
The trick is showing up the second or third day.
Right. You have to be a dedicated hard worker.
Yeah.
What's the word I'm looking for? The one who shows up every day. What's that?
Reliable.
Reliable. Thank you.
It shows initiative.
Dedicated, reliable, shows initiative. So, absolutely.
So it is officially right now the college kids and high school kids that are coming out. They're done with school and they're ready to go start their job. So this is where we start just burning through high school kids right now.
Separating the men from the boys.
And
you can get a job. It's keeping it is the hardest part.
Right. See if they can show up on day two. So so that this is where we start burning through kids right now.
Well, you know, I talked to you about somebody a while ago and I told them, call me. Mm-hmm. I will bring you out there. Mm-hmm. You know what? Chicago public schools are still going on, though.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, that could be a part of the problem. But it's like I said, I will happily, you know, take you over there, introduce you, so on. And so, you know what? I jumped the gun on that. I don't want to be negative, you know, yet.
Yet.
Yet. But, you know, Chicago public schools have still, you know, it's like 3 weeks left.
Really?
Yeah. They don't get out till the middle of June, middle to end of June. So that's my mistake because I'm like waiting for this, you know, person to call. They sounded really interested. I'm like, hey, you know, I'll
see by then, 2 to 3 weeks from now, we'll have gone through 4 or 5 of kids already. So it'll be fine.
We'll be ready for the next batch.
Yeah, we'll be ready for the next batch.
Well, how does it work? Because a lot of high school kids have, you know, especially if you're looking for a high school man who.
Or maybe, woman. I don't care.
You know what? You're right. But I was just thinking. A lot of them have like football practice during the summer. You know, does that happen a lot? That's like, okay, but I have to leave at 3 because I have football, you know?
That's fine. You know, that usually starts happening towards the end of the summer anyway.
Yeah. I mean, that's hard.
So they've got to make it that far, and most don't. So it's okay.
So are you busier in the summer? Is that what's happening?
Well, we've got outside work and inside work both going now. So, you know, before, through the winter, we end up, you know, pulling the guys in, and we're pretty much, I'd say, 80% of the time we're working inside then.
Mm-hmm.
But right now we've got exterior work going on too, so. You know, there's decks and stuff like that, rotten wood repairs. So there's lots of lumber to be humping around from the front yard to the back and stacking it up. And not 1 2x4 at a time. You know.
Oh, come on. I could do 1 2x4 at a time.
Yeah. No, nothing more irritating than to see somebody go out there. There's a stack of 2x4s. You got 50 to get to the backyard. And they're picking it up one at a time, walking it back there. No, Grab five, grab six. Come on, let's grab some of those things. Throw them on your shoulder. Get them back there.
Mm-hmm. You're paying them by trip, right?
Yeah,
by what it is.
Exactly. It's like, oh my God, one at a time, really? And put the phone down and carry the 2x4.
How many smoke breaks?
We'd hired an ex-pro football player.
Yeah.
To be a laborer, and he did the same thing. He grabbed one board at a time, and I'm like, are you kidding me?
Okay, there's so many questions I have there. Ex-professional football player makes millions of dollars, and now he's a day laborer?
They didn't back in certain days. They didn't always make millions.
No, we've had college kids come in that were, you know, playing football, and they'd grab one or two. You know, and then I'd grab a stack of six or seven and throw it on my shoulder and walk around, and it's like, come on, let's go. Let's go.
I still think that a football player had to have made some money.
Yeah. Well, maybe financial management wasn't his strong suit.
Right, yeah.
And apparently neither is hauling lumber.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
He can flip
he didn't
a tire.
Last long. He'd show up to work in his Corvette, grab one, two, 2x4s. We'd make him tired, and he'd go home.
Yeah, or they a 2x12, you know, it's 16-footer, and they're going with two people to carry the one. I'm like, really? Really? Let's go. Throw it on your shoulder. Get it back there. Let's go. Move. And then, like, you're too mean. It's too hard to work here. I can't work here. All right. Mm-hmm. Go home. Go play video games.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, it's just, you know, it happens. And that's, there's just, some kids are cut out for it and some aren't. And we've had some great kids come through.
What do you say, one out of every 20?
Yeah, that's being generous, but okay. Yeah. You know, and most of them are just starting to find their way, too. They don't even realize what that means to have a job. All they know is that they get a check at the end of the week, you know?
And that's the best with manual labor. I mean, that's the best way to start out with a job.
Yep.
Is because I used to pick fruit in Florida, and we got paid by the bushel. Yeah, so if you didn't fill a bushel, you didn't get paid. I made $12 in a week. It was terrible. It was the worst. But if you were a hard worker and you just keep your head down, you go right to it, you could actually make $100 in a day if you were actually good at it. Me, some white kid just hanging out trying to make some monies. That wasn't going to happen.
That's too much sun.
In Wisconsin, the kids would dehusk corn, or in Illinois, too. I can't imagine, you know, jobs where you're bending over. I guess although the corn is high enough, though.
Right. Corn, you're just walking along.
Yeah.
Well, heck, when I got out of the Navy, I used to work on multi-million-dollar equipment and things like that. When I got out of the Navy, I humped boxes at UPS because you need a job.
Right.
And manual labor is one of the best ways to find what you want to do.
Or what you don't want
exactly,
to do.
Exactly. But you're always going to need ditch diggers. You're always going to need people to hump trash around. There's no machine that Klein or anybody else can make yet that will actually take your 5-gallon bucket of refuge to the dumpster.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's it. We've had I've had parents come up to me after their kids were done working with us saying, thanks for hiring him and putting him on here. He realized he doesn't want to do this when he's 50.
Yeah.
Exactly. And not to mention, you're getting paid for a gym membership.
There you go.
I mean, that's if anything, you're getting paid to go work out.
Rich, there's our new deal. Okay.
What's that, sir?
Okay, so we're going to get paid now.
Yes.
Okay, so here's you're brilliant, Sonar. You are absolutely brilliant. Okay, so here's the new plan. What we're going to do now is we're going to charge membership to come work at on our job sites.
Yeah.
And we're going to charge people to come out and work.
Yes.
To dig the ditches, to carry all the lumber around, to go run and do all this stuff. We're going to actually charge people.
It's probably going to work out just like it does at every other health club.
Yes.
They're not going to show up.
But that's okay because you're getting the money.
Exactly. You already got the membership.
Right. No, it's a membership fee, Rich.
You know, they have people flipping tires.
You've already paid
tires.
The membership. You might as well come work.
Yeah. Flipping tires.
Yeah.
You know?
What is that? What's that one workout thing where they do that? And they're hauling, and I see them dragging stuff. We've got one of those gyms down the street, and they put these sleds, and they walk along dragging these sleds.
Yesterday, I was at the health club, and I was pushing 360 pounds on a cart.
Yeah.
You know? And you could...
I push
do that
it
at
either.
Home Depot with a drywall cart.
Yeah, either like no with brakes on or brakes off or whatever. There were like four different levels, you know. And I'm thinking about that going, you're right. You know,
okay.
I could pay you
right
to have me push 360 pounds.
Right. Load drywall by yourself into a van. So you got to stand it up, lift it in there, and then slide it in because you can't lay it flat. Because you
and
all
don't
your tools
ding the damn edges.
Right.
Yeah, and I'll only charge you $50 to do it.
$50 a week to come in, and we'll have a workout for you.
Really? Can we get a lot of squats?
Oh, you can't
and
charge that much.
There?
The health club is much cheaper.
$50 a week?
Is it? I don't know what's
a
gym
club.
What's it cost?
$10
$10 a month. But
you already come with your own personal trainer.
Yeah.
Yes. And who wouldn't want to look like this right here?
Yeah.
Uh-huh, sure, yeah.
Ian says he was 6 foot, now he's only 5'10 because you made him carry so much lumber.
Yeah.
Who said that?
Ian said that.
Ian.
Oh, Ian. I love this idea.
Okay, we're going to work on it. We got Clutter Clarity next time.
Yeah, instead of boot camp, it's...
It's construction camp or labor camp. We can't call it.
No, you can't.
Mighty House will return.
You see this hammer in my hand?
Yeah, I'm going to find that side finder. What does it look like?
And a level.
What is a level?
Don't you know what a level is?
Yeah, it's something you advance to in a video game.
It's Mighty House. Call Mighty House now at 847-475-1590. And get all your answers from the experts.
This is Mighty House.
Okay, we're back to the labor camps and talking about how you can lose weight with your... Is that what we're calling it now? Labor camp?
No, construction camp.
Oh, construction camp workout.
Yes.
Okay. All right, cool.
The workout workshop.
The workout workshop.
There you go.
The workout workshop.
Something like that. You can follow us on Facebook by looking for Mighty House Home Improvement Show, and our Twitter handle is at Mighty House. And, of course, you can give us a call on the Mr. Floor helpline. It's 877-711-5611. You'll have a chance to win your choice of Mr. Floor cleaning products. They're all non-toxic and environmentally safe. And you can learn more at MrFloor.com. All right. And are we ready for Clutter Clarity?
Always ready.
You're all...
Sonar, come sing with us.
Okay.
Well, he can't because then he's got to fire this off and record the
segment. I've been recording all since we started.
Oh, yeah? What? Yeah. Then you just go through and cut it up later?
Yeah, I just cut it out later.
All right, come on in.
Well, then you got to come and sing, I guess. That's what she's the request. Robbie request is that you come sing. So.
But you need to put your square up here. Oh, it's there.
No, he did. Excuse me. Kazuntai. So,
he's assuming he could spare a square.
Yeah, spare a square. There you go. All right. And the Clutter Clarity, this Clutter Clarity segment is powered by Mr. Floor Cleaning Products. They're all non-toxic and environmentally safe. And you can learn more at MrFloor.com. Yeah, good job.
Are we dancing too?
Yeah, well, she does. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
You have a disarrangement disorder? Can't seem to get to a jumbled hodgepodge pile of chaos in one place? Maybe it's time for a little disposal, a little cleanup, a little eradication, evacuation, liquidation, and purgification. Here's Robbie with a tip on how to put some neatness into your disorder. This is Clutter Clarity on Mighty House.
Vominos.
Save me from this prison.
Lord, help me get away.
Wow, he made his mic hot.
Cause only you can save me now.
I got a throat thing going. See, he's got the pipes anyway.
I've been lost in my own place, and I'm getting weary. How far is heaven? I know that I need to change my ways of living. How far is heaven? Lord, can you tell me?
Look at that. You know, most people do the mic drop. He does the headphone drop.
It's done.
Boom.
These are expensive microphones.
So if you like that, join us on Facebook, yeah. Mighty House Radio on Facebook, Facebook Live.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Just really quickly, Ian says that the new thing now is called Remodel Your Body.
Oh.
So that's what we could call it.
There you go.
No, we're not calling it that, but it, Remodel Your Body.
Okay.
Okay. So I was going through some of my paperwork because almost everything that I talk about on Clutter Clarity relates back to
you.
Because it's all about
you. Yeah. Yeah. Nothing new there.
So I was cleaning out paperwork because I am the least organized home organizer you will ever meet.
Really?
It's like what they say, you know, what you can't teach, what you can't do, or whatever, you know, that expression is those who can do, those who can't do for others.
Right. Okay.
You know, so I struggle with it myself. It's so easy when it's other people. I could just be like, just.
I've talked to a lot of interior designers that are like that. They can make decisions for other people's homes, but they get in their home and they're just, they get these blocks and they just cannot make decisions.
I do struggle with that. So here's an example. This is something that I printed out November of 2014.
Oh, just yesterday.
Just yesterday I printed this out because this was in my file for things to talk about on Mighty House Radio Show.
Okay.
Ridiculous. Is this ridiculous?
But it was filed properly, right?
It was filed.
Okay, so there you go.
So what one of these days I plan to do, which I should have started in the beginning, is all these little notes and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I just keep throwing somewhere. So what I should do is just take all my notes and like write it into a book or something like that. But that's never going to happen. I have to go through. Okay, so this was on paper clutter.
Paper clutter.
Paper clutter.
Okay, scan it and put it in your computer.
So I'm just going to go over some of the topics that were that I printed out here on paper clutter. And this person who was actually Fly Lady, Fly, F-L-Y, fly like an eagle to the sea. And Sonar, if you want to bring that up, that'd be great.
Okay.
Flylady.net. And she said, by the time you get around to reading a daily newspaper, you've already heard most of it on the radio or TV. Can I tell you how many homes I go into and they have stacks of newspapers because they say they're going to get to them?
Really?
What's the point?
Get to what?
Get to reading
burning
the old
them?
News. So, you know what? If you get
That's
the
called
next-
history books.
Yeah.
If you get the next day's newspaper, let me tell you, throw away the previous week's worth.
Week's worth?
Yeah. There's no need to save newspapers. Now, I'll
What's
tell
a week's
you,
worth?
Another thing, I have somebody who saved the newspaper or their parents saved it when Kennedy was assassinated.
Yeah.
And you're looking, it's on eBay. It was the Cleveland Plains Dealer newspaper, the headline. It's not selling. Nobody wants it.
Right.
So it's cool to see this.
Uh-huh.
But there's no monetary value to this.
What if I wanted to make a whole bunch of boats? Like a fleet of boats. Or hats.
Hats, yeah.
Hey, if you have that playing in the background, is YouTube going to hit you again?
Probably.
Oh, yeah.
So anyway,
we keep talking over it,
saving
so I think it's
newspapers.
Okay.
The day you got married, it's to see song, what though. Was happening. A lot of people do that kind of stuff. But basically, if you've gone through a couple days without reading the newspaper, you've already heard the news. I'm going to say, you know, on the radio or talking to your friends or on Facebook. I have a sneeze.
Gesundheit. Salute.
Bless you.
Okay. Unread magazines. This is something I have trouble with. What I have a lot of trouble with.
If they're blue magazines, is it okay? Or just red ones?
No, unread.
Oh, unread.
I thought you were going to
like
say
any other color.
Blue as in like off color, like.
Blue. Yeah, that could be that too.
You
see,
know,
blue,
that kind of.
Yeah,
magazines.
Blue magazines.
Words.
No. But.
Words, what are those for?
A lot of people are saying, you know, donate these magazines, so on and so on. I
or
still,
they're worth money, right?
No, magazines are not worth any.
My old Motor Trend magazines aren't worth anything?
No, because the trend is not trendy any longer. It's no longer trendy. No. Okay, papers that you wrote in high school or college. Anybody save all those? Or did your parents save all those? Or if you're a kid, are you saving all of those? Trixie, thumbs up, thumbs down. Why? I save.
I don't know.
Thumbs she
says,
sideways.
She says some.
Some.
She has some. Why? Why are you saving the papers that you wrote?
I don't know. I've got all the certification, you know, all the certification classes I went through. I've got all those books and all my notes.
Why?
I don't know.
Don't things change? Rich, oh, wouldn't you say that everything has changed now?
Since we went through the CR
program. Not everything, but there's a good changes, portion of it, yes.
Yeah.
So why are you saving all the books and certifications?
I don't know.
Because they charge us an arm and a leg for all that stuff.
Yeah, right. There you go.
Why don't we just take $1,000 and throw it in a trash can?
Right. I mean, yeah, we got the
circumvent.
Education.
Cut out the middleman.
Yeah. So, you know, do you need this to show anybody the certification? Mm-mm. I mean, I would say certification.
And have I opened those books since I put them down there?
No.
No.
No, I would say the certification is something you might want to hold on to, you know, maybe, maybe.
The actual sheet showing a certification, right. But not the books.
Right, if you're stuck,
well, you get a new one every year
like
anyway.
I can't get rid of this, save the actual certification, dump the book. The book has changed. It's outdated. Ron, it's probably from 1920, right? And she talked right through it again.